at John 17, which we will not cover on a Sunday morning. I told you I'm getting through John. We're going to get to Easter on Easter. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. I am going to point out some verses in John 17. That is Jesus' prayer. They call it his high priestly prayer. One pastor wrote of the prayer. This is what, you know, the one that he prayed with his apostles, with his disciples. One pastor said, this is without question the most important prayer offered in the entire history of the world. That's quite a statement, but I mean, it's Jesus' prayer. We get to listen to Jesus have a conversation with his Father. And then he just mentions that the significance of it. It was offered on the eve of the greatest event in history, found in conjunction with the greatest message ever heard in history, and its contents involve the greatest experience we can have in history. So it's Jesus' prayer. I'm gonna mention some things that I hope will help us as we even pray tonight and as we continue to learn to pray. As he goes through it, you know, we learn what eternal life is, knowing the true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. We really see all the aspects of our salvation, our justification, our sanctification, glorification, all these things that mean so much. But I'm going to point out a few verses in John 17 and then just say something about them. First of all, it's vertical. Verse 1, he has something in mind that goes all the way through it. John 17, 1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. As we get to listening on Jesus praying this prayer the day before he would go to the cross for us, he has the glory of God in mind. What is man's chief end? Question number one. Man's chief end? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that's how this prayer starts. Jesus wants the glory of God and the glory of himself because he's God. He's God's Son. So he wants to be seen. He wants the Father to be seen for how great he is. And then because he is going to go to the cross for us, he wants that to be seen. God's glory in him. So Jesus is looking for what's important. So it's vertical. First of all, looks at the glory of God in the Father, and then the glory as it'll be manifest in the Son. And interesting, and you know, the cross is described in many different ways. In John's gospel, it's a glorious thing. Now, it's seen as a shameful thing also. I mean, he died as a criminal, but John sees it as a great moment of glory for Jesus when he accomplished God's will. So it's vertical. It's also personal. I'm going to just move around here. In verse 9, he's praying specifically for his disciples. And we can somewhat in extension have it apply some things to us. But just notice the personal. I am praying for them. And in this case, he's talking about those 11 men. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they're yours. Jesus has a very personal prayer. He prays for his disciples. He's going to pray for us too here at the end, but he prays for his disciples. It's very personal. We prayed for each other in here a couple of weeks ago. Very personal, meaningful, I think, for us. And we can continue to do that. So it's vertical and it's personal. It's joyful. Verse 11. Actually, I want to say it that kind of starts in... let's see here. Yeah, you see, verse 11, the middle of verse 11. It says, keep them in your name. Keep them in your name. Okay, that's what he's saying. Keep them in your name. He continues this thought of keeping them in his name. And then he says sort of a purpose in it. Into verse 13, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So here's Jesus praying that his joy would overflow in his disciples. Now, are they going to need that? Because what's going to happen here shortly? They're going to scatter. They're going to be fearful. They're going to have one of those days we don't talk about a lot, that Saturday before Easter. We talk a lot about Good Friday. We talk a lot about Easter. But that Saturday had to be the longest day as they wondered what's happening. So he's praying for them. I want my joy, O Father, fill them with my joy. So it's joyful. It's a joyful prayer. It's vital. And by vital, I mean needful for life, for sustenance. And that's in 15 and 17, two supplications he makes. And we can make these same kind of supplications for each other. Verse 15. I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Here is God the Son praying to the Father. Father, keep my disciples from the evil one. So he's praying for their protection. A vital prayer. Also, verse 17. Sanctify them. Set them apart in your truth. Set them apart from this world, this wicked world that would seek to do them in. Set them apart. So it's vital, praying for our protection and our sanctification. Protection from the evil one, being set apart for God's purposes. Oh, by the way, also in John's gospel, when it talks about being sanctified, it's also for the purpose of mission, to do what God's called us to do. So setting them apart for the mission. Two more things. It's global. And this is where he prays for us. And somebody I was reading today, let me think who it was. I think it was Michael Card. He said when he realized as a boy that Jesus was praying for him the night before he died, that it was very shortly thereafter that he was converted, that he was saved, when he realized. So here it is, verse 20. I do not ask for these only, that is the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And again, that's not we don't have to imagine every one of our names goes through his mind on the cross. But he's praying for us, his people, because we're part of those people who the apostles preached. They wrote the gospels, they wrote the letters, the New Testament was completed, and we are part of that. We're the church, his people that he's praying for here. So this is global. He's praying that all those then whom the apostolic message would bring in would. Well, that's who he's praying for. No, he ends up praying for our unity in the faith. But my point tonight was that he prayed for us. So it was a global prayer right there, either in the upper room, or it could have been that he was praying it as they walked, or it could have been when he got to the garden. And then it's hopeful. It's hopeful. And this is really for us, because listen to what he prays. 24, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, and if you know Jesus, then this is you. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. And that's going to be in heaven as he's thinking through accomplishing his work and dying and rising again and going back to the Father. I desire that they whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And so, as we pray, let's make sure we remember God's glory is our ultimate aim. Let's be personal. Let's pray for one another and for individual people and for their needs. Let's be joyful. We're praying that our joy, even in the midst of difficulty. Let's pray for protection from the evil one, for sanctification in the truth, that these vital things. Let's pray for the salvation of the lost. And let's pray with our eyes on heaven, where we will be able to be with Christ and to see him in his glory. And so we can even be thinking about those things as we pray tonight.